torsos ripped to shreds by the load. Their remains were flung backward into the group, the force pushing other muties down and saving their lives, at least temporarily. They thus avoided the main load of death, but were still wounded by the storm of flechettes that had spread low and wide. The armorer had wasted not a second in slinging the M4000 and bringing the Uzi into play, his short bursts directed at mopping up those sections of the heaving mass that still seemed to be alive and dangerous. Passing the now chilled pile of muty flesh, the armorer established a safe position by a sheet metal shack, firing a quick blast through the opening to clear the inside of any possible danger. Covering his back, he began to pick off any muties that passed his view, with his attention primarily focused on the ranch house windows and doorway, from which the wood and glass had long since disappeared. JB whirled to greet the sounds coming up behind him.
Only me! Had the same idea, eh?
Downey settled himself in beside JB and swept the long iron-gray hair from his sweat-spangled face. Somewhere along the line, his habitual ponytail had come loose, and the strands of hair across his vision were both irritating and dangerous. JB could smell the powder and heat from the discharged sharps and knew that the Sec-Man had been busy at his task and that he too had the foresight to target the ranch house.
Better to chill them as they emerge, not let the bastards get those blasters all over the show.
Now they were picking off passing muties and had a group holed up in the ranch house, loosing blaster shots that whined high and wide past the Sec-Man. There were also shots from inside the ranch house itself.
Think we could leave them to chill themselves like that? Guess I'm getting cramped around here.
Good risk of grand.
Squinting through his spectacles, the armorer took a hand from his Uzi to push his fedora back in his head and scratch idly at his forehead.
Doesn't seem to be too many of ours around this point, and the house looks strong enough to contain the blast. Problem is, what if they've got a stock of grins in there themselves?
Good call.
Downey realized now why the armorer hadn't risked a grin before. He looked around. With no localized fighting, the bill was small, but large enough for there to be none of the war party within a radius of about 50 yards.
Of course, wouldn't they have blown themselves up by now if they had any?
Odds are.
With that simple statement, he reached into one of the ammo-stuffed pockets that covered his jacket. He produced a grin, pulled the pin, and rose to a standing position. A seemingly lazy swing of the arm, along with a perfect eye for distance, saw the grin arc in the air and land through one of the windows.
Down!
Jimmy pushed Downey to the rear of the shack. The explosion was muffled, only the open doorway and windows allowing the force to escape. The structure of the building seemed to blow out, almost to the point of crumbling, before returning to normal. The sound of the ammo supplies firing off filled the immediate area, and then died. The building was darkened and still, all the more obvious in the light and confusion surrounding.
Guess that's seen to that. Let's go and get that mother nuke, my friend.
JB grunted his assent, and they left the shelter of the tin shack, who went to the fray. Christy found herself alongside Rankine and Bodhi. The rangy Sec-Man was striding through the mayhem with ease, firing off shots from his 303 Lee Enfield, and then swinging the stock to club Sun Children out of his path. As for Bodhi, the exertion was showing on his fat face. He was using his blaster sparingly, a technoknife like the armorer's clasped in his other pudgy hand.
Impressive dude, that Rankine, huh? Me? I'm not really much of a fighter. Always get nerves, you know? Talking too fucking much, like I am now. Nerves, see?
Christy raised her blaster and took off the top half of an advancing Sticky's head with one shot. There were still a few of the Stickies that had been in Sunchild's attack party at the Bill, and they were now robed like the other Sun Children, although instantly identifiable from their tiny eyes, needle-sharp teeth, and splayed sucker fingers, as well as their almost bizarre lack of hair.
Nice shooting, babe.
The petition-haired woman turned to him.
Don't call me babe. Hey, look out!
Distracted by his nervousness and the finely muscled female fighting machine at his side, Bodhi hadn't noticed a robed Sun Child come flying at him from his unprotected left-hand side. He was turned toward Christy, and although her cry had made him turn, it wasn't quick enough. The muti was on him in a flying leap, bellowing wordlessly as he clawed at the Sec-Man, attacking even while still in midair. The two hit the hard-packed earth with a thud that drove the air from both their bodies. Christy couldn't blast the muti, as he and Bodhi were too entwined, so she grabbed a handful of robe and flesh from near the muti's neck and heaved upward. The muscles in her arms stood out, and the cords on her neck grew taut. Her flaming hair whirled wildly with a life of its own as the muti flew back in the air. While he was still above the ground, she had leveled her Smith & Wesson blaster, putting a slug into his soft chest.
Wow! That was something else!
Just be careful unless you want to be chewed. I won't be beside you all the time.
She chucked his chin as though he were a child. Before Bodhi had a chance to say much else, Christie had disappeared into the fray, leaving him to watch his own back. Doc had been one of the last to hit the floor of the valley, picking his way down carefully so that he wouldn't fall and either chill himself or be a burden for any well-meaning raw dweller who was close. He needn't have worried. When he reached bottom, Mildred was waiting for him, using her ZKR to pick off approaching muties.
By the three Kennedys, could it be that you are awaiting mine own humble presence?
Well, I figured a crazy old buzzard like you may need some nursemaiding.
Less than graciously put, my good woman. But nonetheless, I appreciate the sentiment.
Then stop talking and let's get moving. I figure it would be best for all concerned if you and me got to that nuke first, seeing as we're the only ones present who may have some idea of the tech.
If Harvey is that close to Jenna, then he'll know of the technology involved.
Mildred spared him a glance.
Although I agree that such a thought only reinforces your point.
They began to move into the main body of Somptrobu. By the time the Doc had descended, the battle had moved inward, the advancing force pushing back the surprised Sun Children until they were almost entirely contained to the central clearing around their sacrificial altar, and more importantly, the totem decorated new. Progress for Doc and Mildred was easy, almost too easy, so much so that an attack from the rear was so unexpected as to almost catch them off guard. Almost, but not quite. They advanced through the slaughterhouse that was the outer reaches of Samtvogel, stepping over the chilled corpses and the dying, none of whom were conscious or fit enough to put up any kind of fight. Doc cradled the Lama and had the sword stick unsheathed, but to preserve ammo, Mildred picked off the few mutants that came within range with a ZKR. There were other pockets of attack that, like themselves, had arrived after the first wave of attack. The main body of fighting was in front, as it was up to the stragglers like themselves to mop up resistance. It was only because the sounds of strife were in front and had the echo of distance that Doc could differentiate the sound of movement from behind them. He whirled with a speed that belied the care with which he had advanced. Behind him in Mildred was a group of five muties, three males and two females. Two of the males were wounded, one dragging a heavily bleeding leg, the other with an arm hanging limp and useless. But all five had the fire of battle in their eyes and were brandishing blades of varying sizes. They were only a few yards away and advancing rapidly. Mildred began to turn, but Doc snapped at her.
Eyes front, Doctor. Leave this to me. I would like to feel useful to some degree.
As he spoke, Doc raised the Lama, and his last words were almost lost in the explosion of the percussion pistol. The round caught the mutie with the injured arm full in the face. His head disappeared in a spray of blood, flesh, and bone. The woman to his left, perhaps his mate, screamed as she saw him disintegrate in front of her. It was a scream cut short by Doc's next shot, which caught her throat, ripping out her larynx and almost severing her spinal column. The rest of the shots were evenly spread over the group, cutting them down, either mortally wounding or instantly killing them.
Onward! Onward, Doctor!
Yes, sir!
Jack had become a fighting machine once more. Like Jake, he was primed, honed, and let loose on an enemy. But unlike the giant Sec man, Jack still kept his entire wits about him. There was coldness within the albino, as icy as the whiteness of his hair and skin, that enabled him to stay detached in the middle of battle. The muty Sun Children around him were no match for the fighting skills of the albino. Eschewing the .357 Magnum Colt Python in a close fighting situation, he used the leaf-bladed knives to slash his way through the collected tribe, with only one objective in view. Harvey had wanted the bill trashed and scattered, but Alien wanted information, and had made a request of the albino he had noted as such a strong fighter.
Over to the left, Jack!
Blake still gripped the 9mm Walther PPK he favored, but had let off few rounds, preferring to use the long double-edged bayonet that was in his other fist, the honed blade almost as long as the small Sec man's forearm. Jack moved gracefully and seamlessly away from his compatriot, and to the right of the nuke. Three passing moves with the knives disposed of dull-witted guards, too slow to even move before their lifeblood pumped from severed arteries. Sunchild raised a rusting sword and bellowed in rage and frustration at his crumbling empire. He brought the blade down toward Jack's head, but the albino skipped around the blow, allowing the momentum to carry Sunchild forward, enough for Jack to chop at the exposed back of his neck, rendering him unconscious.
Need alive, for now.
Harvey was in trouble, and it was all the fault of his own arrogance. The sec chief had led the charge down the sides of the valley, arriving on the earth-packed floor only shortly after Ryan had killed his first sunchild. Like the